Exclusive, realignment, in-depth analysis reveals how Democrats have become the party of the rich, elites. By Matthew Boyle on October 31, 2025. Washington, damn, it feels good to be a Democrat. A new in-depth analysis demonstrates how the Democrat Party has become the party of the rich and the elite. A remarkable political realignment in recent years that has Democrats in Congress now representing more than 75% of the wealthiest congressional districts in the country. Life is so much better for these rich Democrats, on so many more accounts than just economically. They're less likely to die from shootings or opioid overdoses, and their life expectancy is longer than those living in other parts of the country. But this all comes at the expense of the actual working poor, who are now by and large Republicans, while the elitist rich enclaves in the United States have switched from Republican to Democrat. The report, titled Class Dismissed II, The Secession of the Successful, was compiled by GOP lobbying and public affairs firm CGCN. CGCN, which has partnered with Breitbart News on major events this year featuring key members of the president's cabinet and team including several upcoming events in November, provided the report exclusively to Breitbart News ahead of its public release. In it, the firm analyzes data that captures and proves the political realignment seen in the coalition that President Donald Trump assembled to win the White House and then again to later win it back. The CGCN authors point to a phenomenon that former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, who led the Department of Labor under Democrat President Bill Clinton in the 1990s, first identified back then that Reich called the secession of the successful from the rest of society. It's not every day that you find us agreeing with President Clinton's former Labor Secretary, Robert Reich. But back in the 1990s, Reich captured an emerging social phenomenon, which he called the secession of the successful, the CGCN authors wrote. By that he meant the nation's elite removing themselves from everyday people and their concerns. This class dismissed installment is an update on CGCN's earlier such report released back in late 2023 and also exclusively reported on by Breitbart News. Our latest review of census data, updated from our previous memo, Class Dismissed I, confirms that Reich's assessment is now hard fact, but maybe not in the way he envisioned it, the CGCN authors wrote in this latest report. The successful class, defined not just by income, but by education, geography, and cultural homogeneity, is seceding in large part to the Democratic Party and away from Republicans. By secession, we, and Reich, mean moving into a hermetically sealed, elite cultural bubble, set apart from the working class and poorer populations, which are increasingly afflicted by the nation's most crushing social pathologies. According to the latest data, uncovered by CGCN researchers, those most beset by social and economic maladies, with some exceptions, are far more prevalent in Republican, rather than Democratic, districts. This latest report is one of many recent such pieces of expert literature seeking to explain what went wrong for Democrats last year, and just how wayward the Democrats remain as a party. Another recent report, first unearthed by Dave Weigel of Semaphore, was put together by top Democrats and warned their own party they are set to continue losing and becoming more and more geographically limited if they do not drop the extremism that has come with the Democrats' isolation into rich elitism. There have been countless others, too, but this latest one from Republican consultants at CGCN fills in the blanks with new data showing how Democrats have become wealthier and more elitist. The new CGCN report continues by arguing that this is a party realignment decades in the making, and that the two parties look much different than they did even a decade earlier. The GOP is no longer dominated by eyesod-wearing denizens of the Shaker Heights Country Club, and the Democrats are no longer the party of working-class locals in Youngstown's Royal Oaks Bar and Grill, the CGCN authors wrote, pointing specifically to the curious case of former Senator Sherrod Brown, D.O., who spent his entire decades-long career as an elected Democrat portraying himself as a working-class champion only to get absolutely smoked by now-Senator Bernie Moreno, R.O., at the ballot box last year. Now, Brown is trying to run again, this time against newly appointed GOP Senator John Husted, R.O., who was picked to fill the spot vacated by now-Vice President J.D. Vance, but is seriously failing to gain traction with the very working-class voters with whom he used to connect. The authors point to what they say are earth-shattering changes in endorsements, where labor unions across Ohio are now backing Husted instead of Brown's flailing comeback bid. In short, anyone familiar with his decades-long career would know that unionism is in Brown's DNA, the CGCN authors wrote. But in a sign of the times, his opponent, incumbent Senator John Husted, R.O., just inked substantial endorsements from Ohio's industrial labor unions, including the International Union of Operating Engineers, IUOE, Local 18 and 66, giving the incumbent support from affiliated unions in all of Ohio's 88 counties, according to Axios. On top of this, in September, the Northwest Ohio Building Trades Council flipped its support from Brown to Husted. This is, in short, earth-shattering. The report then quotes a local labor leader explaining why the unions are endorsing the Republican Husted over the Democrat Brown. "The Mahoning Valley is the backbone of Ohio's working class," Jesse D. Renna, business manager for IUO Local 66, said. "Senator John Husted leads with action, not just photo ops. His values align with ours, which is why we support him." The next two pages of the 13-page report have some of the most interesting data unearthed by the CGCN analysts, particularly the economic conditions in Democrat versus Republican strongholds in this era versus previous eras. First off, the report analyzes the share of annual gross domestic product, GDP, of the areas that voted for Trump the last three presidential elections versus the areas that voted for Democrat presidential nominees Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. Consider that Democrats, in fact, represent far wealthier districts and constituents than the GOP, the report reads. For example, over the last three presidential election cycles, Democratic candidates won counties with a higher share of aggregate GDP than Donald Trump. Astoundingly, just during Trump's time atop the Republican Party the past decade, this existing trend has grown far more profound. In 2016, the counties that Trump won nationwide amounted to 36% of aggregate GDP, and the counties that Clinton won represented 64% of aggregate GDP. During the 2020 election, Trump's counties represented 29% of aggregate GDP while Biden's represented 71%. In 2024, Trump counties represented 37% of aggregate GDP while Harris won counties represented 63% of aggregate GDP. It's even harder core when looking at the wealth among congressional districts in which parties hold seats in the richest parts of America. In fact, the report citing U.S. Census data found that Democrats currently hold more than three-quarters, more than 76%, of the top 30 wealthiest congressional districts in America. According to U.S. Census data, America's wealthiest districts are overwhelmingly represented by Democrats, the report reads. Of the 30 richest congressional districts, only 7 are represented by Republicans, while 23 are represented by Democrats. By contrast, representation among the 30 poorest districts is more evenly split. Democrats represent 18, and Republicans represent 12. Many of the most powerful Democrats, like former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, DCA, Reps. Jamie Raskin, DMD, Eric Swalwell, DCA, Ted Lieu, DCA, Pramila Jayapal, DWE, Ro Khanna, DCA, and Jerry Nadler, DNY, represent some of the wealthiest districts in the nation, and these names are also some of the most familiar on cable news. The political and moral burden of representing poor and forgotten Americas now lies with the GOP, the report continues. Moreover, the stark divide between the everyday experience of one living in a poor congressional district as compared to a wealthy one explains in good measure why the two parties speak different languages. Looking at the income data in the 30 wealthiest districts, again, now mostly Democrats, versus the 30 poorest districts, which are much more evenly split, the difference is profound. The median income in the richest districts per the CGCN report is $133,071, more than double the poorest district median income, which is $52,318. Unemployment is significantly worse in the poorer districts too, at 5.89% on average versus just 3.93% on average in the wealthy districts that Democrats dominate. Beyond the economic numbers, several social statistics also demonstrate a much higher quality of life for the very rich Democrats in America. Opioid deaths are far more common in the poorest areas, the CGCN report reads. There are 19.6233 opioid deaths per 100,000 in the wealthiest districts. This number is even higher in the poorest districts. It jumps to 32.466 opioid deaths per 100,000 in the poorest districts. Firearm homicides are also far more common in the poorest districts. There are 13.39 firearm homicides per 100,000 people in the poorest districts. This number is 3.2 per 100,000 for the wealthiest districts. The poorest districts are trailing in high school completion. The average for the top 30 wealthiest districts is 92.93%, with the number dropping to 84.66% for the poorest districts. The poorest districts have a lower life expectancy by about 5 years. The average life expectancy for the top 30 wealthiest districts is 81.333 years. For the poorest districts, it falls to 75.82. What's more, Democrats in the House and Senate have become more elitist, and Republicans in both chambers less so, over the last several decades when it comes to education levels. In the 93rd Congress, 1973-75, 55% of Senate Republicans went to elite universities. In the 117th Congress, 2021-2023, that number declined to 34%, the report reads on a later page. House Republicans educated from elite universities plummeted from 40% in the 93rd Congress to just 15% in the 117th. In the 117th Congress, over 50% of Democratic senators had degrees from elite institutions. House Democrats who graduated from Harvard rose from 9%, 93rd Congress, to 15%, 117th Congress. Democratic senators from Yale University rose from 5%, 93rd Congress, to 6%, 117th Congress. Interestingly, too, the report also found that the vast majority of members of the establishment media are rich, elitist, and white, meaning they have an inherent bias that misses the concerns of working-class Americans, who again are more and more becoming Republicans. And whether consciously or not, most reporters strain to understand worlds completely foreign to them, the CGCN report reads. Here we mean rural areas and low-income neighborhoods, marred by crime, opioid deaths, and chronic unemployment, with populations who are religious, without college degrees, and overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic. Hence, it's not difficult to see the result, media bias. As conventionally understood, such bias also stems from a well-documented fact. Reporters identify far more as Democrats than Republicans. A 2022 study by Syracuse University's Newhouse School found that 36.3% of journalists identified as Democrats, while only 3.4% identified as Republicans. But in a similar context, the lack of newsroom diversity can also bias coverage.